Friends, we have returned to the chapel following the committal of Eva's mortal remains at Thornton Cemetery. For those of you who join the family for this service of thanksgiving, it's good to see you, to welcome you to Oughton Park Baptist Church. We gather not so much to mourn the loss of a dear and precious loved one, but to rejoice and give thanks that Eva Marr, who came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, ran the race. She fought the good fight. And she's now with her Saviour in heaven. She has risen in spirit to join the Lord Jesus Christ, whom she loved. She's risen in spirit to join the church triumphant, angels, archangels, cherubim, seraphim, departed brothers and sisters in Christ, are presently her company. But most of all, she's in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom she loved and served. And songs of angelic choirs surround them. And can I thank you on behalf of the family for joining them, supporting them at this time of bereavement. After this service, there'll be some refreshments served through in the back room. Please stay and feel yourselves of those refreshments. Speak to the family afterwards. I'm going to open in prayer. After we open in prayer, we'll sing our opening hymn. The hymns are among Eva's favourites. I think if we had been singing all of Eva's favourites, we could have been here for the better part of the day and into the night. But she's narrowed it down. We'll be singing Eva's favourite hymns. Some of the family members will be giving tribute. You know who you are. Please come up at the appropriate time. And the service will flow as it is in your order of service that you have in your hand. So let's pray. Eternal God, Almighty One, Lord of hosts, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by your Spirit we come before you today, the one before whom the generations of men rise and pass away. As you sent us into this life, so you have appointed a time for our departure from it. As you give, so also you take away, so that we may remember our frailty, so that we may acknowledge the brevity of all things, the brevity of life, so that we may trust in you and you alone, and that our ultimate joy would be found in you. And in this hour of bereavement, our Heavenly Father, you alone can be our consolation. So speak to us in the solemnity of this hour. As we wait upon you with submissive hearts, speak to us through the scriptures of things eternal. And so bring comfort and hope and courage to those who are gathered. We rest in your perfect providence. We trust in your perfect provision. We look to you for grace that sustains and strengthens. We ask for help that goes beyond our previous experience of it, knowing that you often supply grace in accordance with need, and our need is very great this hour. Draw near to Eva's sons, daughters-in-law, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, the whole family circle and friends that are gathered here. O Lord, we ask that you would be our strength. We return to you our thanks for your enabling grace and for how you uphold. Your promises have not failed, and we know they will not fail. We thank you for every remembrance of our sister Eva Marr. We will indeed miss her dearly. But for many of us, that parting is only for a moment. We know that we will be reunited with her again in that place where there is no grief, no sorrow, no pain, where there's no sin, no death, no separation, nothing to spoil, where we'll be no more trapped in these aching, tired, feeling bodies. We thank you that Eva is now breathing the air of the celestial city in the presence of her Saviour. So, Lord, dwell with us now in this coming hour during the course of this service. May Eva's Saviour be uplifted and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And we'll stand to sing our opening hymn. Lovely hymn by Robert Murray McShane, the old Scottish Presbyterian minister. When this passing world is done, when is sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking over life's history, then, Lord, shall I know, not till then, how much I owe. Standing to sing, please. When this passing world is gone, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I first
for being here to celebrate the life of a special person, my mum, Eva Marr. I would like to tell you something of her life. She was born in Brazil, in the state of Santa Catarina, to German parents. She was the seventh out of eight children. Her parents had left Germany in the 1920s due to the hyperinflation in the country and the depression, and had an opportunity to go to Brazil, so they settled in Brazil to make a new life for themselves, but found it hard going after many years and ended up returning to Germany in 1939 and arrived 2 weeks before World War II broke out. During her time in Germany, she experienced things never mind a child should ever go through. Her family was split up. She suffered severe hunger and saw some horrific sights. But when her family was eventually reunited, minus one of her brothers, who was killed in the war, they returned to Brazil, where some years later she started training to become a nurse, which in turn led her to come to England, where she qualified as a state registered nurse. During this time, she met my father, Vincent, and over time had us four boys. Despite the traumas of her early life, my mother never dwelt on her past and made family life a happy time. Despite having us four boys to contend with, she was a rock upon which our family was built. My mother always thought of herself as not being a clever person due to schooling being disrupted, obviously, during the war years. But I always beg to differ with her. I always pointed out that there's not many people who can read, write, and speak three different languages. She came to this country with barely a word of English, and within 3 years, she was speaking, writing, reading, and had passed her exams to become a state registered nurse. My mother had many attributes, and many of you here can testify to. She was selfless, honest, and a caring person who helped others. Whether it was giving her time and money or using her nursing skills to care for others, she was one of life's givers. She will not only be greatly missed by her family, but countless of others whose lives she enriched by her love and acts of kindness. So all I can say is, may you rest in peace, Mum. We will always be in your hearts. Thank you.
Over 82 years, Eva was many things to many people, few of which I properly realised. I appreciate her role as a mother and within her family in England and Germany and Brazil the best. Some of you have an idea of her challenging life, I've just heard. In 2015, it's hard to understand a different age. Just listing experiences, a strange land and language, cultural coldness, poverty, caring alone for an adult alongside four young children, that doesn't really cover it. Youth means we, her sons, can only dwell on odd memories and wonder at the sacrifices she made for us. The major link we have with the past is how her dedication to us remained extraordinarily resilient, is the type of support which makes lives worthwhile. If our beliefs are nothing to do with what we say and everything to do with what we do, my mother knew a lot more than she often protested she did. Like most people, she was a complex character. Fueled by post-war stigma of her German heritage, she sometimes struggled with feelings of inferiority. She wished she had more talent, a more prominent position in society. I hope I gave her the assurance that it didn't matter to me. Kind actions are oblivious to social hierarchies. They're untouchable by opinion formers and moral authorities. Often they're only noticed by the recipient, and sometimes only transiently. They affect the world in a deeply personal way. Despite her quirks and imperfections, I feel you're really privileged to have known my mum for 50 years. Her kindness isn't the only reason for this, but it's the main reason I'll miss her.
Not much longer. You could make a Spielberg movie from my mum's life. It certainly was eventful. As a qualified nurse from her teens, she never ceased to care for others, even in her 80s, running errands, doing shopping and being the primary carer for those in their 90s. My mum had a number of trials in her life, any one of which would have been too much for most people to bear. I only found out about the significant ones long after I left home, mainly after talking to relatives and asking Mum specific questions, because Mum would never volunteer, including latterly writing a sketch of her life story. It was only in the last few years that I appreciated the extent to which she protected us, refusing to let the actions of others towards her impact the lives of her children or her faith. Her trust and commitment to Christ was unwavering. She believed wholeheartedly that God's grace was sufficient for her, even if those looking on doubted it. The following tribute from Robbie Wood, he was our nearest neighbour when we were growing up, sums up the impact my mum had on those around her in her life of service to others. Eva was an exceptional woman whom my wife and I had both originally known from 1971 when we lived opposite the family in Parkling Orton. Bearing in mind the adversity, suffering and toil which she had been exposed to in her life, I could never reconcile her devotion to Christianity. I am a long-time doubter. She was an exemplary mother to her four sons, who perhaps at times could not understand her self-disciplined manner, but which was always done for the sole benefit of the family, and which paid dividends in the bringing up of her boys and achievements of pure fulfilment. To my knowledge, Eva never had a bad word to say about any other living being and was unrivalled in her devotion to her family. Some years ago, when I visited her in Orton, she let me read a brief chronicle of her life. If Eva had been a Catholic, she would have been the perfect candidate for sainthood. She shamed the majority of other people. She had kindness, honesty, uprightness and virtue. An honoured and majestic woman. Her four sons, Peter, Stephen, Martin and Raymond, should realise here was a remarkable woman who gave little thought to her own well-being and sacrificed everything for the family on limited resources. She was a model of rectitude and an ambassador for the natural goodness of German womanhood. It has been a privilege to have known her. All I can add is, apart from so many treasured memories of a loving mum, is that mum was first and foremost an ambassador for Christ. Secondly, I do have to say, as for having a bad word to say about anyone, between me and you, she did have the odd frustration with Dad on occasion. Thirdly, her sons did come to know and fully understand just how truly remarkable she was. We did appreciate all that she did for us, and she knew we did. And she did know how deep our love for her was and is. Finally, we do not grieve as those without hope. She is with the Lord, but she will also live on in the lives of her children, grandchildren, and all those like Edith and Robbie Wood who had the privilege to know her. My heart is full of thankfulness to God for so many special years with a mum who rose to the challenge of taking Jesus at his word.
My mum wanted Psalm 103. And I don't know whether it's this. It's one of my favourite psalms, and it's especially pertinent for me. If you've got Bibles, you might want to turn to it, because it's especially important for Christians. It's the epicentre, very centre of the Bible. 15,550 verses before, and 15,550 verses after, Psalm 103.2. She wanted it, and I thought it was for me at first, but after reading through, they've limited me only to 7 verses out of the 22. So after reading through it, I thought, it is quite poignant. So I've rewrote it and improvised on King David's words slightly. So I'll be reading Psalm 103, verses 1, 4, 14, 15, 17 and 22. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within her. His holy name, Yahweh, who brought forth Eva with a little rib. Verse 4. Bless the Lord, Jehovah, O my soul, as he now redeems her life from the grave, from the pit. He will soon crown her with love, with kindness and tender mercies when raising her up again. 14. Because he knows that you come from the dust, and to the dust we will all return. 15. As for this woman, Eva, she is like a flower in the field, and she looks beautiful, and she flourishes, making more flowers, bringing joy to all she meets. 16. But the Lord, of the spirit breath, Storm Eva, blows away and she's gone, a rauch, removed from her place as she returned to the dust once more. 17. But the loving mercy of God, her father, for his daughter remains. It is an eternal love, from timeless start to timeless finish, Aleph and Omega, everlasting to everlasting. And his right living ways will pass on to Eva's children and even on to her grandchildren. 22. Bless the Lord, for his name is Jesus, the Son of God, for all Orpah's and Omer's family. Bless all of his works in all the hearts and places where he rules. Bless the Lord, Omer's family, God please. Bless the Lord, the Trinity, Omer's soul. Love you, Mum. Love you, Omer. See you again soon. Let it be so. Amen.
Thank you. Our next hymn, My Song is Love Unknown. Again, we will stand to sing.
This is my friend. Omer was loving and caring and always put others before herself. But when I came to write this, most of my memories were ones of fun, like the time she slid down the hill at Fairy Glen, or the time she reversed back up a road to read a road sign she had missed. But my favourite memory is the way that she struggled to tell jokes, but we would all laugh anyway. She used to do this thing where she would hear a joke, and when she would come to retell it, just before she got to the punchline, she would remember how funny it was and start laughing. And she'd be laughing so hard that no one would hear the joke and would all just have to end up laughing at her. Omer played a huge part in my life. And as I've grown older, I've begun to appreciate what she's done for me and those around me. In spite of calling me her Nervenzäger, which means nerve wrecker, one thing Omer never failed to do was tell me how much she loved me and how often she was proud of me. She made an effort to phone all her kids and grandkids once a week, normally more, to ask how we were and where we'd been. No matter how boring, dull, or long story I told, she truly, truly cared. She wanted to know what was going on in our lives. Every birthday or Christmas, when you asked her what she wanted, she'd say the same. All I need is your love, and I'm a rich, rich woman. If my love was how she counted her wealth, then I hope she knew she was the richest woman on earth. And I just wanted to say, we're all so grateful and privileged to have known her and for what she's done in our lives.
No, I should have gone first. Okay. My tribute is bound to echo a lot of what you have heard, so for that I apologise. On behalf of me and Naomi, we have a million wonderful memories of Omer. From our Sunday lunches to our trips to Parkpool, from her failed attempts to teach us German, to her beautiful inability to finish a joke without laughing halfway through. From her collection of tubbies to her tea cosy style hat she would make us wear. From her wonderful way of rolling her eyes at Dad's jokes to her treasured phone calls every Sunday afternoon. But the thing I will remember today and always know long after my memories become hazy is that as I grew older, my realisation of how wonderful a lady she was grew as well. When talking to Naomi, or Little Eva as many called her, the main thing we agreed on is that our admiration for Omer's strength, humility, selflessness and gentle love is the reason that we love her, and for all she taught us we will be ever thankful. There have been two times in my life when I have undoubtedly seen God's great peace in others. First, in my nan when Grandad Alan died. And second, in my conversations with Omer after her diagnosis. God, I'm okay. Despite her past trials in life and her present illness, she often spoke to me of how God's grace is sufficient and how she couldn't complain because God had so richly blessed her. I should say that she allowed herself to grumble at first, then would say, "Ah, stupid woman, I have nothing to complain about." Yes, this shows her true character, but greater than that, it is a testament to her faith. One of our sympathy cards spoke of Omer as a quiet servant of the Lord. I think that were true. But although quietly devoted in life, I know she would wish her testimonies to resound with the greatness of her God.
I'm going to begin with a particularly appropriate anecdote about what is probably the last time we're all gathered here together in Alton Park Baptist Church, at Opa's funeral. Despite her renowned frugality, Omer was style conscious, albeit in a subtle manner, with her outfits being carefully chosen. For Opa's funeral, Omer had donned her finest church-going clothes. However, whether through grief or absent-mindedness, Omer somehow ended up wearing an odd pair of shoes. Joanna and I had noticed, but hadn't wanted to say anything. At the post-funeral reception, however, Omer made a fleeting remark about wanting to quickly head back to the bungalow. Joanna and I looked at each other, then down at Omer's shoes, and then back at her, and quite all of a sudden, Omer went bright red upon the realisation that we knew, and together we all erupted with laughter. If I recall correctly, she insisted on returning home alone to change her shoes, although I'm not quite sure we honoured those wishes. Indeed, there is further evidence of this fashion-conscious side of her as I embarrassingly recall memories from my erstwhile rebellious teenage years, where she would remark on my awful and scruffy clothing, and her dismay at me growing out and dyeing my naturally brown hair to an ugly and artificial black colour. However, I think my present-day choice of clothing has been a bit more pleasing to her. Although Omer was truly the matriarch of the Ma family, she was also a maternal figure to many others, with all the children from Sunday school calling her by Omer too. She was quite literally the grandmother of all in her life, be it through her capacity as a nurse, or looking after and running errands for her friends and fellow pensioners, even right up until her final days. And for me personally, Omer was there supporting me through the most trying and testing of times. The thing I believe I owe the most to Omer for, and I believe this applies to all of her children and grandchildren within and without the family, is her beliefs and values. Omer's values. Omer's values of steadfast loyalty to her family and friends, her uncompromising compassion, and her frugality and resourcefulness, these qualities have shaped us all. She clearly taught us these values well, especially the importance of family, as we all did everything we could to be with her in her final moments. It is these saintly qualities that I believe have had the most profound and lasting effect on the world. It isn't just we, her family and friends, who have lost an inspirational friend, mother and grandmother. I believe the whole world has lost a truly remarkable positive force when even Ma passed away. On behalf of all the grandchildren, we all love you so very much and are going to miss you terribly, Omer. Rest peacefully.
Thank you. Eva was greatly loved. I said in my introductory remarks, she'll be sorely missed here in the church. She was a faithful servant of God. And this is another one of her favourite hymns, How Good is the God We Adore. Again, we'll stand and we'll sing at these two verses. Text this morning, or this afternoon, comes from the Old Testament, a prophet by the name of Amos. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Very simple portion of scripture. It says, prepare to meet your God. This, in its context, is addressed to the children of Israel, and yet it has a very definite personal application. Prepare to meet your God. Eva Marr was prepared to meet her God. There used to be an advertisement for road safety. Yeah, your parents will have remembered this. I think Ray and that, you'll remember it. Pete, you'll remember it. You remember the Green Cross code, the Green Cross man. And your grandparents will remember, your mum will remember the Tufty Club even before that. But the code has undergone several changes over the years, but the basic tenets remain the same. Stop, look, listen. This advice hasn't been much worth much when you consider the hundreds of people who have been killed crossing the roads over the years that have gone by, because they didn't stop, because they didn't look, because they didn't listen.
My friends, there's a spiritual parallel here. Even though Jesus Christ came into the world to die for sinners, his death will have failed absolutely nothing for your salvation unless you accept it as even more accepted it. Now, doesn't it stand to reason that no medicine will do anything to restore you to good health unless that medicine is taken? No bread will give you any strength to your body unless that bread is eaten and digested. You can stand in the presence of a crystal fountain and die of thirst unless you drink. And all the provisions that God has made through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our offenses and raised for our justification, will avail you absolutely nothing for your salvation unless these provisions are met by repentance and faith and taking them for yourself, just as Eva Mar had done, repenting of her sin, believing by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the truth of this text this afternoon, very simple verse, very simple statement. Prepare to meet your God. Now that is something to say to everybody, hasn't it? There are plenty of affluent people in this world who wouldn't class themselves as rich. We've heard something of Eva's earlier years, the difficulties during the Depression, etc. And how hard and how difficult it was for the family. Those of us in this generation, compared to what our parents had to put up with, we're certainly more affluent than them. Our lifestyle is certainly more comfortable. But listen, friends, affluence will not keep you from meeting God. You may be cultured, but culture will avail you absolutely nothing if you stand before God as one who has trampled on your foot the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have convinced yourself that atheistic science has settled the God question, there is no God. But that does not mean that you will not meet God. The open grave that we have just come from shouts that it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, judgment. And whether you meet Christ by death or whether you meet him when he returns to this earth, as he is going to do, literally, visibly, tangibly someday, everybody in this chapel is going to meet God. You will meet the one who has counted your footsteps since you were a toddler at your mother's knee. You will meet the one who knows every word in your mouth, and there isn't a word in your mouth that he doesn't know. You will meet the one who understands your thoughts afar off. He's the one that you can't trifle with. He's the one that you can't ignore. He's the one that you can't deceive. He is the one that you can't escape from. And when you stand before him in judgment, there won't be any smooth-speaking lawyer to try and find some loopholes. When you stand face to face with God, you will stand there unable to hide anything from him. He knows the secrets of your hearts. You see, beloved, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared to meet God. And for a Christian, for a person who has repented of their sin, who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, for someone like Eva Marr, it must have been a wonderful, thrilling, sweet experience for Eva to come face to face with the one who died for her. It must have been a wonderful experience for her to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom she trusted. But oh, to meet God having rejected Christ. Oh, to meet God having to stand there face to face with him, knowing that you've trampled his shed blood under your feet, knowing that you've trampled onto your feet the love, the goodness, the kindness, the tenderness, the compassion of a gracious and benevolent God. You know, like myself, you may have seen loved ones meeting who haven't seen one another for many years. And you know what that reunion is like. You know, there's an account told of two brothers meeting who hadn't seen each other for 18 years. And these two big, strong, strapping lads, they just put their arms around each other and they just kissed and they laughed and they cried. It was a joyous experience. There were tears of joy to meet and stand face to face with one that you hadn't seen, but you were longing to see. That was Eva's experience. She was longing to see Jesus Christ. But friends, it's terrible for those who don't know Jesus Christ to meet him. For a Christless soul to depart from this world, to stand before Christ and to see him look upon you with those eyes that tell you that I have loved you with an everlasting love. And how often I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you would not. And to know that he's reading your thoughts, to know that he knows exactly what you're thinking. Yes, I know that you died for me. Yes. The preacher told me about it often. Yes, the Bible recorded it. But I said no. And I trampled all your love under my feet. Then will God not justly say, rightly say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, into hell prepared for the devil and his angels? God help people. God help men and women, boys and girls, to prepare to meet God. Friends, that is the only sensible way for men and women, boys and girls in this world to live. Every hearse says it's the only sensible way to live. Every obituary says it's the only sensible way to live. Every hearse and every cemetery, every white tombstone, every vacant chair in the household screams, prepare to meet God. Because it may be you next time. Thank God, Eva Marr was ready to meet him. Death in the end, yes, came quickly. We talked about these things when I last saw her over in the hospice. She was a faithful servant. She labored so much behind the scenes here at Oughton Park. But God saw her labors, and God will reward her. Yes, her life was difficult, but that didn't cause her to shake her fist in God's face and deny him. She loved him all the more. He was her faithful friend, and she was faithful. We've heard about Eva's kindness. We've heard about her being caring. We've heard about her being honest. We've heard about her humility. But why was Eva Marr like that? She was like that because her Savior was like that. She was kind because her Savior was kind. She was caring because her Savior was caring. She was honest because her Savior was honest. She was humble because her Savior was humble. And I would reckon if Eva was standing here this afternoon, Eva would be saying, if you didn't see my Savior in my actions, then you didn't get it. She was what she was by the grace of Almighty God. And yes, as I say, she had a difficult time as a child. I read a book a few years ago on the downfall of Berlin. It was only a few years ago. And part of the book inevitably started with the advance of the Russian forces in the east through Prussia. And reading about the refugees in that part of Germany where Eva lived, coming down to talk to her about it. Horrific, as you say, what she experienced as a young child. Seeing things that nobody ought to see, experiencing things that nobody ought to experience. Experiencing temperatures minus 30 degrees. One person, contemporary person at the time, said, "Never had I seen such misery." Evacuated to those refugee ships. And yet she never once shook her fist in God's face and denied him. Her faithfulness went before her. You know, I often wonder why we have to preach so hard, plead so long, pray so much, be so insistent with men and women and boys and girls who seem to have so much good sense about so many other things. You're all intelligent people. But when it comes to this whole issue about meeting God, for some reason or other, you just want to block it out of your mind as if it doesn't apply to you. A life lived by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only lovely life that people can live in this world. It's the only lovely life that's worthwhile, because what is done will last into eternity. A life of constant preparation to meet God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the life that Eva Marr lived. And in the light of Eva Marr's home call, I bring this question to you in closing that I want to ask you, and then I'll answer it for you. When should you get ready to meet God? When are you going to meet him? Well, you know as well as I do, we don't know our death day. We don't know when that minute will come when we will pass from the scene of time into the next. So when should we prepare to meet God? The answer is simply this: now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but now. In a couple of days, we will be remembering the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel said he shall save his people from their sins. That's the reason he came, to save us from our sins. That was his mission. He loved us so much that he went to the cross and he died for us. That's how you prepare to meet God. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You acknowledge yourself to be a sinner, as Eva Marr did. You trust his finished work alone, and you rest in that. God says that any who come unto him, he will never turn them away. Be they backsliders, be they apostates, be they people that the Holy Spirit is convincing of their sins right at this very moment in this chapel. God says, you come exactly as you are. Come with all your sin. Come with all your twistedness. Come with all your brokenness. All your emptiness. Come with all your frustration. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will find that peace, that joy, that happiness, that blessedness that Eva Marr knew in her life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word that reminds us of how important it is to be prepared to meet you. Every one of us in this chapel someday is going to stand face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't depend on our own righteousness. We can't depend on our own goodness, our own works. We can only depend upon his righteousness and his finished work. Lord, in the light of what we have been talking about this afternoon, in the face of death, in the face of an open grave, we would ask that your Spirit would speak loudly to each of our hearts, that you would answer Eva's prayer for her family, that they would all come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that there would be a happy reunion in eternity. We pray, Lord, that long after the preacher's voice is silent, that your voice would continue to speak loudly and clearly, and that it would not be silenced until all make their peace with you, the living God, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is "How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Fast Beyond All Measure." Again, we will stand, we will sing to the glory of God. Thank you for the dying love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who will come again. Yes. And our God, we pray that you would be with this dear family in the coming days, difficult time of year, to have a funeral. But Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. We do pray that you would receive from us our thanks for the refreshments provided. We praise you for how you open your hand and you give bountifully to us. In Jesus' name, amen.